Pentecost shows that the church is meant to be supernatural. Let me ask you, answer it in your own mind, is that your impression of the church? Not just talking about ourselves, but the church in general. We just sung a hymn about all over the world, all over the church and so on. The Spirit is moving. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever the Holy Spirit is moving, and I'm not denying that at all, nor am I trying to undermine the sincerity of people's faith who go along to the church. Some of them perhaps don't have any, but most of them do. And there is a sincerity. But is the impression you've got that the church is supernatural? I suspect the word no is coming to mind. Of course there are exceptions. We've experienced ourselves, and we've come across churches that really have been supernatural in the way they operate. And there are such today. But over much of the church, that isn't really the impression that you give. Again, please hear me. I am not being negative. I am not knocking the sincerity of people who go to church and, it's all quiet, calm, Church of England, and so on. I'm not knocking that for a moment. But it's meant to be more than that. And this day tells us it's meant to be more than that. Maybe already you're thinking, oh, hang on a minute, he's going to be going out of my depth. I can't cope with this. Yes, you can. It's amazing what God can do. Do you remember how he healed? I've forgotten the name of who became church warden here. But he was healed here. What's the name of his daughter?
Hazel,
that's right. Hazel was healed. In answer to prayer. That is supernatural. Healing is part of the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we can all pray for healing, and it may be quite amazing what happens. But the church is meant to be supernatural. That does not mean weird. I have come across some weird people from time to time. And believe you me, I try to unweird them. Of course there are. There'll always be, bless them, the people who go too far and so on. Of course there will be. But forget them for the moment. That doesn't alter the fact the church is meant to be supernatural. Look what happened on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were fairly scared of what was going to happen, and not unnaturally, what had happened to Jesus. Now we can look back and we know the end of the story and all that, but they knew what had happened to Jesus, how he had been dreadfully persecuted, treated abominably, and then crucified. Yes, they knew about the resurrection, but they didn't quite know what that implied. They hadn't learned that. We have the advantage of the New Testament and sort of understanding quite a bit about it. They didn't. So what did they do? They met as a quiet prayer gathering in a private house. No churches in those days, of course. And then the Holy Spirit came. They were praying, by the way, and that's absolutely crucial. If we want to see the church become more and more supernatural, we've got to pray. Prayer is a supernatural activity. We all do it, so we're all involved in the supernatural to some extent. But what happened on that day was that they were changed into a dynamic, powerful group that transformed the local society. And they were out on the streets. Now, that doesn't work sometimes today in our society, in many places. But in that time, it was socially sort of acceptable within reason. But what they were saying wasn't. They were dynamic preachers. They were transformed. And when the Holy Spirit came, the house shook where they were meeting. The whole thing shook. And there were supernatural lights called like tongues of fire. And they spoke in other tongues. And they became fearless witnesses. The Holy Spirit came and they were transformed supernaturally. From rather fearful, quiet, backroom boys into becoming dynamic, upfront witnesses manifesting the power of the Spirit. And of course, not going to preach on healing this morning, but they went on to do remarkable healings. This is what God wants for his church. Of course he wanted the cross. Without that, there wouldn't be a church and none of us would be saved. Of course he wanted the resurrection of Jesus. Without that, we are lost. But he also wanted Pentecost and its effect. He wanted the effect of the cross, the effect of the resurrection, and the effect of Pentecost. He wanted us to be a supernatural organization. And yet, many churches are not like that. But, and this was clear in one of our readings, that God did not intend that what happened at Pentecost was the last time that sort of thing would happen. It was very special, and some people think, that's it, it's all over. No, no. Peter, in his sermon, when he went out on the street, he preached from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. And he said this, "This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." And he goes on to make it quite clear. He's not talking about what happened then, but about wonderful things that are going to happen in the future. In the end times, or the last days before Jesus comes back. So Pentecost wasn't the end of the outpouring of the Spirit in a special way. There's a prophecy that in the end times, there will be perhaps an even greater outpouring of the Spirit. And that's what will happen. Now, I believe we're living in the last days. Now, you don't need to worry about that and to think, you know, Armageddon's next Tuesday and the end of the world is next Thursday. No, no. Let's be sensible about it. And hear what the Word of God says. But I do believe we're living in the last days. There are various signs that were predicted in the New Testament which are happening today. The gospel going throughout the whole world. That's only happened in, you know, the last 100 years or so. And of course, with modern communications, it can go anywhere in time. I'm in touch with quite a lot of African people who've not got very much, but they've certainly got phones that they can pick up, you know, emails and all the rest of it. And so the communication of the gospel throughout the world is one of the great signs. And then people turning away from the faith. Well, that's certainly true in the West, isn't it? How we're turning away from the faith. And that was another sign Jesus prophesied. But persecution will be worse than ever. Do you know persecution of Christians is worse than ever? Every day I read a calendar, a prayer calendar, about the persecution of the church, and it's dreadful. And there is more persecution now than there ever has been. Another sign of the end times, the last days. And then something even more remarkable is the return of Israel to their land. Now, I know this is not without controversy, but let's avoid the controversy for the moment, because Jesus actually said they will be taken away from their land, and the Romans ensured that happened, and they'll be living amongst the nations and so on. That literally happened. But then he says, when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, they will return to the land. And no other nation has returned to its land after 2,000 years. They've been out of their land for 2,000 years. You would have thought they would have been assimilated into local society, wherever they went. But they've gone back to the land. Now, I don't approve of everything Israel does, although sometimes they're unfairly criticized. But what I do believe is at the heart of it, God is bringing about a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus himself gave. And then the whole thing about globalization, we live in a global village. Again, I have no time to go into that this morning, but is another indication that we are moving into the end times. Now, I like talking about this, the end times and so on. But I'm not going to continue with that this morning, except to say this. Another sign of the end times is a repetition of something like Pentecost. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That is why I am so concerned about the subject of revival. Because revival is a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the island of Lewis in 1949 to 52, the experiences the disciples had were repeated. I went to Lewis for the first time last September on a pilgrimage, just to go and be there where this had happened. I'm a bit of a pilgrimage person. If I go where something's happened, I can sort of re-enter into that, or enter into that experience. Now, I don't think there was any reference of speaking in tongues that I've ever come across in that, but they did hear heavenly music. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in a remarkable way in that very rural and remote island, quite a number of people heard heavenly choirs. Not joking, not telling fairy stories, they heard them. And in one case, the house shook, where a minister who was a leading light in the whole revival was. The house shook, just like Pentecost. And there were supernatural lights. They saw, some of them saw angels. This is just back 1949 to 52. And I can assure you, this is not fairy stories, it's history. And they became fearless witnesses. They went and proclaimed the gospel. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who were not Christians in any meaningful sense, who spent, some of them spent their life drunk and disorderly, or involved in all the other sorts of wrong behavior, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds were brought to a dynamic faith in Jesus. That's what happened, 1949 to 52. And I met the minister I mentioned, who was a leading light in that particular, not that he did it, God did it, but he was a leading helper in that. So what God wants to give us is a supernatural experience. Wow, I'm not sure about that. What would that mean? Well, let me tell you, part of what it means anyway. A deep and profound sense of his presence. What's frightening about that? A deep and profound sense of God's presence, way beyond what we've experienced before, where we're totally taken up with a sense of the presence of God. That's part of the church being supernatural. And then a deep and profound lifting of our hearts in worship. Not just singing a hymn or saying a prayer, valuable though that is, but almost standing on tiptoe, so to speak, and worshipping the Lord like we've never worshipped him before. What's frightening about that? It isn't frightening. But then, slightly on the more solemn side, a deep and profound sense of the seriousness of sin. All sin grieves and offends the Lord. And the Lord wants to make that clear to us. Not so we can wallow in guilt, God forbid, but so we can be set free through repentance. And then the Lord would transform our lives through these sort of experiences. Yes, there may be miracles of healing, etc. Yes, of course. But those are the things I want to emphasize. But the Lord won't only do wonderful things in the life of Christian church attenders. Jesus said in our second reading that the Holy Spirit was given to work powerfully in the lives of non-Christians, and how this nation needs it. We are largely a godless nation. We may have false gods, money and sex are two of the most popular ones, but we are largely a godless nation. We don't bother about God. We don't think about God. And Jesus promised that when the Holy Spirit came, he would prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And sin because people do not believe in me. And that's certainly true largely in this country. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father. In other words, knowing that Jesus died and that's the only reason I can be accepted by God and have eternal life. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. That sin is serious and we will stand before God one day. And this all happened in the Isle of Lewis, back there in 49 to 52. Non-Christians were profoundly convicted of sin because they didn't believe in God. Not really. Non-Christians realizing that righteousness, acceptance by God, is only through the cross. And non-Christians becoming aware that we shall all stand before God as our judge. What happened on the Isle of Lewis one particular evening, a Sunday evening I believe it was, they'd finished the service and it was dark and the minister was doing various things and there were one or two other people around, and they suddenly became aware that people were coming, more than had come to the service. People were coming through the darkness carrying torches and lanterns. They were coming over the moors. They were being drawn by an irresistible, well, I don't know about irresistible, but a sort of divine magnetism. They were being drawn powerfully to come to the church after the service had finished, late on a Sunday evening. And they describe how the lights were sort of flickering across the moors as they came. And then they came, they stayed hours, right into the early hours of the morning. Why? Because God was doing something supernatural. You know, I long for this to happen here. Wouldn't it be great if the people we know and love in this community were drawn by a, can I use the word irresistible? You know what I mean by it. An irresistible sort of magnetism and force. They were drawn to this building to come and find life, eternal life in Christ. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I believe that's what God wants to do. And we should pray for that to happen. Obviously, we'll continue to witness to them, to do whatever we're supposed to do on a weekly, daily basis. But we should pray that God will do something supernatural amongst us. Well, are you willing for God to meet you in real depth like never before? A deeper awareness of his presence than you've ever had. I can assure you it's a wonderful experience. Are you willing for your heart to be profoundly lifted in worship like never before? Again, that's a wonderful experience. Are you willing for the Lord to give you a profound sense of the seriousness of sin? After all, Jesus died for our sins. We should take it seriously. Sometimes we don't. And will you pray for revival in the Eden Valley, in Stainmore and in the Eden Valley? Let's pray for something supernatural to happen, something Pentecost-like to happen, because that is the message and the encouragement and the challenge of this day, the day of the outpouring of the Spirit and of God's power transforming his church. Father, we do pray that you will do what we can't do. We can't do supernatural things, Lord, except insofar as you work through us. But Lord, we long that as we continue in the ongoing work of the church and reaching out in your love to the community, you will do something extra. You will do something special. You will come in power. You will bring revival, as we call it, Lord, a mighty outpouring of your Spirit to draw many, many, many people at the moment don't know you to faith in you and to eternal life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.